I said, well, all right, she can dance in the back. You don't have to. And then another person wrote, but it's a lady dancing. And she's 40-something years old, you know.
And a grandmother.
A grandmother. Look, John.
She's cute.
You know, sometimes, anyway, so fortunately I can overrule everybody. But it's interesting, you know, probably never did it this way, you know. We're mature, I mean, we can make certain decisions without violating the basic principles of Krishna consciousness. Just like what we're doing now. And I want to speak of during Mangalarti. At the end of Mangalarti, when we chant the Nrisimha prayers, they play the guitar.
Yeah.
That was another controversial thing.
You had the guitar, Mangalarti itself at one point.
Yeah, well, Rajananda.
Yeah.
One very nice devotee who was staying with us for some time, he would play accompaniment during Mangalarti. It was very beautiful. And we also have a bass guitar. I don't play the bass guitar. You going?
No, everything is okay.
Oh, you have to take the chair.
Yeah, unfortunately, we are leaving.
Oh, okay.
We're not coming back. Thank you for the lectures. You touched our hearts.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So, oops. Anyway, and so, because we let one devotee play the bass guitar during the kirtan, you know, he's a nice devotee, becoming a nice devotee. He engages his talents in Krishna service. Am I deviating? I don't know. You know, I'm using the cartels and chanting the standard grade during most of the RT. So, and I don't insist upon a standard, as long as people dress nicely and cleanly. Except for me. No, I dress nicely and clean. And then, you know, it's because I appreciate the bhakti, you know, which is the real thing. And then, but we have to be careful because we get criticized. And we have to be a little bit aloof from the criticism. So, and that's all the hierarchy, you know. I don't feel I have a need to criticize when I go somewhere else. Just because I'm an older devotee. I mean, I go to temples where it's completely different. I'm not going to mention where it is. Where everybody has to get permission even to have a cell phone. But I don't criticize. That's their mood. You know, they like it and they feel comfortable in such a situation like that. Hare Krishna. I don't have the right. Because I'm older devotee, I'm a sannyasi. Anyway. But at the same time, we do need hierarchy to regulate things in the movement. So there needs to be two branches. One is the hierarchical branch, where obviously you need control on things. On the BBT, you need control on things, and who publishes, who prints Prabhupada's books. Obviously, you can't just let everything go. But at the same time, we need people who are going to counsel others, be empathic with others. That was my proposal the first day.
I heard this like thrown around sometimes, but I've heard like Prabhupada or the Bhagavatam or someone says that like 25% of your time should be with like people older or more senior, 50% should be with people who are
younger. I never heard that.
Okay, I was wondering. I've heard that.
Is that Jostrick?
I've been trying to find out. I don't know where I've heard this a couple of times. It's weird.
I think we also heard and tried to find, but couldn't.
I can't find it. I've been in the movement for 200 years.
I think that they referred to Radhanath Swami, actually.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
I would say that, you know, my personal opinion is that, you know, we should stay with people who encourage our Krishna consciousness. And who can resonate with it, whether or not they're older or younger. Or, I mean, I know some very, very newer devotees who can really encourage me in Krishna consciousness. And I learn from them. Anyway, there's different ways of approaching things. It's not a criticism of anyone else or what anyone else said. But we need management, but empathic communication is not a system of management, so management has to happen in parallel to empathic communication. We need good management, strict management. Right now, you know, I'm doing both things. Like right now, I mean, for example, in America right now, there's one temple that wants to take a mortgage out. So we can do something. It's a Washington, D.C. temple. I mentioned this the other day. Want to take a $10 million mortgage out. So I'm not putting on my empathic communication hat and saying, oh, they really want to increase things and serve the deities. Isn't that so nice? I'm saying, I want to see the details. So I'm putting on a different hat. I want to see the details. How are they going to make it back? Will the bank foreclose on them if they can't make payments? Who are the guarantors? You know, so it's a different hat that I'm putting on. So you need that. Otherwise, everything's just like hodgepodge. And Prabhupada insisted on that. Like in the beginning days of the movement in Hawaii, there was one devotee who, you know, thought the temple should be sold. And he sold the temple and kept the money. Gaurasundara was his name. And therefore, Prabhupada instituted a whole system of trustees, property trustees, to protect the different properties. So you need management. You need good management. But I'm speaking about something different. You know, to keep the devotees enthusiastic, we need empathy, connection between each other. So both things have to happen in parallel. And usually, the same person can't do both things at the same time. I can do both things at different times. Like when I get on my computer, I can certainly be a manager, financial manager. But when I'm talking to all of you, relating with all of you, I'm not going to go into that mood or mode. All right? Any other questions before we end?
Can I ask something?
Right? Yeah.
You mentioned that some of your disciples shake before... when they come before you, and I can't imagine how it is possible. Maybe you can say
why they shake?
Yes.
Because I am such a mean SOB. You don't really know me. Anyway, so because they don't have so much interaction with me, because they're in certain places in the world, they come from a different culture. It's not that, you know, when you have, which I do, about 1,200 disciples, which is not a lot. It seems like a lot. But when it's not a lot, I mean, some of them have more closer relationships with me. In other words, they haven't had the opportunity. It's, you know, it's hard to give 1,200 people the opportunity to be in an informal setting like this. I mean, sometimes I'll go to Fiji and there'll be like 30 people taking initiation one time that, you know, have been recommended. And, it's hard that everybody, you know, if I had to give personal darshan to thousands of people, it's kind of hard. But I tried my best by whatever means are at my disposal to keep in touch with everybody. But certain people from hierarchical culture, you know, that's how they'll relate. And I have to just tell them, don't worry, I'm not as bad as I seem. But some gurus just keep that posture. And I'm not saying it's bad, I'm just saying it's a different relationship. So, any other questions? She's our professor, so.
I wanted to actually ask about this, we talked about principles and details.
Yeah.
Another day. So my question is, if I understand correctly, that if we keep strict on principles, like you mentioned, four regs,
chanting 16 rounds, yeah. Rising early. There's other principles too, yeah.
Then all other things or do I understand correctly that we first should be very clear actually what are the principles and very really knowing them in order to
not to deviate.
Yes, and all other things are details that can be adjusted.
Adjusted according to time, place, and circumstance.
Is that correct?
That's a correct understanding, and a lot of the problems we have is that we confuse principles with details, or details with principles. Like, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, was expert in adjusting different details. You know, he was the one who came up with this sannyas dress, which is not, first of all, it's not a principle, and it's not even a tradition. What Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur did is he examined the Ramakrishna mission and also the Sri Sampradaya, their method of sannyas, and imitate, because our traditional method of sannyas in Gaudiya Vaishnavism is basically a lungi, like the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. That's traditional. And it's not even a principle, it's just traditional. It's a detail. So he understood the difference, and so he gave this particular type of dress. And so sometimes we're very stuck on particular types of dress. And you know, I'm following the tradition. I've chosen to follow this tradition established by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Some of my godbrothers follow a little differently. I mean, like you have Vridhananda Maharaj. He does all of his online classes wearing shorts and some pants too. Anyway, So, but you know, that's adjustable. That's adjustable. It's not really what I want to do, but it's adjustable. And you see, in China. Let's take China for example. The devotees have adjusted practically all the external aspects, like the instruments, the style of dress, the style of music, to the Chinese style. And I have some really interesting videos of hundreds or thousands of Chinese devotees chanting Hare Krishna, you know, dressed up in their Chinese clothes, whatever clothes they're called, and eating prasadam using chopsticks. But, you know, when you go into a temple and you say, well, you're supposed to use your fingers. I remember one of the things, I hope this doesn't disgust anyone, one of the things that really, really disgusted me when I first came to the movement, well, first time I visited a temple, is they said, you can't use toilet paper. It's not Vedic, you have to use your hand. And then later on, this is a story, a really funny story. I was in Australia on an airplane, and this Australian people don't hold back, they say whatever's in their hearts. And especially when they're drunk. Anyway, so he comes onto the airplane, and he sees me, and I'm dressed like this. And sometimes I travel like this, sometimes I travel in Western clothes, it doesn't matter. And he says, Hare Krishna! He said, I love your food, but why don't you use toilet paper? Why do you use your hands? And then everyone in the airplane. I certainly had social distance. Nobody wanted to come near me. They just pictured my hands. So like, it was a rule that you couldn't use toilet paper. And then another rule they came up with is that you're not allowed to use the bathroom after 7 o'clock at night. This is a rule. I mean, I don't know why they came up with this rule. And all the Prabhupada says things. So here's this, not me, it never happened to me, but people, sometimes they ate and they had to use the bathroom. Journey, their journey various colors because against Krishna consciousness views them. After 7 o'clock at night. And then another thing is you're going to the bathroom one time a day, you're a yogi, twice you're a bogi. Yeah, are you guys sure? Yeah, rogi, you know. You're just a bogi. You know, all these things that just like drive you crazy sometimes. And so, you know, the principles are really easy to understand. We chant Hare Krishna, read the Bhagavatam, read the Nectar of Devotion, you can see what the principles are. And then, interestingly enough, Rupa Goswami says that different spiritual masters will have different instructions on details. But Rupa Goswami is just presenting general points. And even some of the points in Nectar of Devotion, you know, we don't follow. Like, for example, it says you shouldn't wear red or blue in front of the deities. And Prabhupada was asked about that. He said, no, it's all right. The Prabhupada, or in the some of the literature says, we mentioned this before, don't eat carrots. And some temples, they will not serve the deities with anything that grows underground. Like in Jagannath Puri, they don't do that. So, these are just details. And especially in the Western world and now in India too, the more we focus on the details rather than the principles, the less we're going to be able to expand Krishna consciousness. Because people just like, you know, someone comes in the temple and you say, you got to wave your hair a certain way, and otherwise you're a prostitute. They did that to you, isn't it? What was your experience?
I guess at that time I was not thinking that there's some other option, so it's like...
So you changed your hair?
I did at that time, yeah.
But it's just like, who cares how you wear your hair? It doesn't really matter to me. That's not a principle. Yeah.
What is the need behind all the strategy to correct or like...
The need is not wrong.
Yeah.
If certain people have that need, and we respect that.
So the need to correct always other people, it's actually something else. It's the need to be...
Like, for stability, uh-huh. Maybe a number of different needs.
Yeah.
Predictability, stability. I mean, I have certain needs like that, too. People who know me know that I get up at the same time every morning, extremely regulated. Hopefully I'm not obsessive compulsive, anyway. And so I have a need for predictability, regularity in my life, you know, like to do things. Everyone knows I'm punctual, right? Like if I'm supposed to be there at 3 o'clock, I'll be there at 3 o'clock on the point. Out. But these are different needs I have. It's not that everybody's like that. Of course, in India, they have Indian Standard Time, which is there an hour late. You know, someone tells me, we have a program at 6:30 in the evening, Mars. Can you come? Mars, I come at 6:30. We're old people. So finally, at 8 o'clock in the evening, they start wandering in.
That's pretty early, eh?
So, you know, just different needs. And they're expressing their need for spontaneity. For the rest of their life, they're not spontaneous. So, anyway, it takes some intelligence. And we work with different people. And we're not criticizing people who are obsessive compulsive. No, we're not criticizing people who want to be more regulated than that or more. Because it gives people a sense of identity.
When they force other people to be like them, this is the need for what?
Like you mean forcing other people? You know, well, it's the same need. It's their sense of identity, belonging.
Like forcing a woman to have. have this kind of hair, this kind of double bracelets.
It may be a number of things, but to the sense of identity, conform. You know, certain people like conformity. It's just like, it keeps the mind peaceful with certain people.
So it's not wrong to have...
It's not wrong, but we should fit in where we fit in, where we want to be.
I mean, it's not wrong to have need that other people do something, not us.
No, it's not actually, it's your own need.
Okay.
It's your own need, and ISKCON should be a big enough house so you work with people who are compatible and have similar needs, and there's a place for people who are not compatible. There has to be a place, like Prabhupada built a house, as they say, big enough for the whole world to live in. And that doesn't mean different nationalities. I mean people with different feelings and needs. There should be a place for everybody, yeah, including me.
I was just reminded that it's quite often happening that the most violent and intense conflicts are actually between people who are having same needs,
yeah.
But just they choose the strategies they choose.
Different strategies.
And when they are not connected to the needs, then they are fighting on the strategy level.
Yeah.
But when it helps to get down to the need level, then we start to see that, the needs are the same.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's able to fight different strategies which
fit together.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's mediation. That you get people down what their basic needs are, and then they see there's a win-win there somewhere. Good. But ISKCON, it should be big enough for everybody. Right?
Yes.
Needs to be big enough for everybody. You know, people have different needs, people have different strategies, people have different visions about Krishna consciousness. I'm not going to try to impose my idea. I tried it. One of the first seminars I gave, I thought, I'll invite this person to film it, because he was good at filming, but he really needs it. So I said, can you film me? I need your help to film it. So, oh yeah, I like filming. He didn't realize that what the seminar was going to be about. So he comes in, sets up his camera, and we talk about empathy and love. And he runs out, leaving his camera there. And so you can't really force it on people. But you can be empathic with the person can pick up on it. But if you try to force people to learn it, everybody in the temple has to go to this seminar. It's not a good idea. It's not a good idea. And but we can be empathic with those people who choose, to be more whatever. And that will actually communicate it to them. It just takes one person. But don't try to force everyone to learn it. I'm not going to make my book required reading for all my disciples. Okay. Whoops. It is 1:17. Thank you all very much. It's been very enlivening, exciting. I'm very grateful that many of you sat through this. It makes my life meaningful. So I can communicate something that's very important to me, something that I think can change the face of ISKCON to make it more acceptable for many people, to connect more people with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and connect more people with His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. And, I hope I can contribute something to everybody. Okay. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
I will do that. The book? Oh, yeah. I promise.
Sorry.